that nappy right here. You fuck around and have right speakers in your system, it should be sounding like this.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Thanks for tuning in for episode 2 of the soon-to-be-named sports podcast. I am Zaki Ahmed. Thanks so much for tuning in once again. First, contextuals episode coming right at you. And we're going to start with fantasy football and what it is about fantasy football that really gets my gears going, gets my never mind, that could get really weird if I keep trying to do that. But anyways, a little bit of background. I want to talk about my background, why I play fantasy football, why I think it's a big deal, why I'm so passionate about it, and why I think all NFL fans could really get into it if they haven't already. So my fantasy football journey started 2011, and I was sharing an office with a buddy, and he said, you know, you don't play fantasy football? How do you not play fantasy football? Because he knew I was such a big Green Bay Packer fan. He said, you got to get into this. I said, well, what is it? It sounds weird. And anyways, for those of you who aren't familiar with fantasy football, you basically, depending on the format, obviously, but generally speaking, you get together with 10 or 12 guys and you would draft a team one player at a time. Everybody goes in turn. Everybody takes a turn. It's similar to like the NFL draft, NBA draft. You pick players and you fill out a roster of, you know, one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receiver, a tight end, and a flex position, which can be any skill position, kicker, defense, and then you have a bench of like six players. As the year goes on, you have to set your lineup of those starting positions that I just described every week. You pick who's basically on the field, quote unquote, for your team, and then your bench sits on the bench. And whoever's on the field is represented by their actual stats in real games. So whoever racks up the most points in your league wins. Depending on the format, again, you kind of go head to head against somebody, and you know, touchdowns are worth a certain value, passing yards, running yards, receptions, etc. So fantasy football for me became a way for me to engage with the NFL, which I loved already. It was a way for me to learn about the league and more and players, because at the time, just being a Green Bay Packer fan, and by the way, being a little bit of a lukewarm Green Bay Packer fan, because times weren't exactly buzzing for those 10 years kind of in that period of time, and I was in university and stuff too, but anyways, I basically knew who the Packers were, but I didn't know who Jamal Charles was. I didn't have an appreciation for who LaDainian Tomlinson was and what they did. When I watched highlights, I didn't have any appreciation for what other teams were doing. And it was really interesting. The first year I drafted Jamal Charles in the first round, he blew out his knee and kind of screwed me. But being a rookie, it was kind of nice to have an excuse. But it was an excuse because everybody loses players every year, and you got to build your team, and you got to go to the waiver wire where you can pick up guys and drop guys from your team, etc., etc. But anyways, the experience of fantasy football not only helped me learn about players and teams around the league, but it helped me learn about systems, coaches, and schemes. And then to be able to understand what offenses are doing and why they're successful and why players individually are successful, as in the aforementioned coaches and systems, you start to appreciate what defenses do, why defenses are tough to score against or to run against versus pass against. And what does that sound like? That just sounds like education about the game to me, anyways. That's how I kind of took fantasy football. That's how I take fantasy football. That's one of the biggest reasons I enjoy fantasy football. obviously there's the aspects of, you know, community building and bonding, everybody in your league, you get a little trash talk going, you have some fun, and you stand to win some money as well, not only from your buddies, which can make it nicer to do a little trash talking, but also if you start to play online and join in bigger leagues and things like that. Those are great components of it, but I love learning about the game, and fantasy football has provided one of the best mediums for that. Not only because it's, you know, there are analysts who dedicate their lives and careers to fantasy football. They're not left over. Well, that's a bad word, but they're not left over NFL analysts who also talk about fantasy football. They devote themselves to fantasy football, and it's a massive, massive industry, multi-billion-dollar, and I think it's only going to continue growing. So that's kind of where my passion stems from for fantasy football. For those of you who aren't aware, there's all kinds of different games, by the way. What I described earlier was a season-long league. People usually just draft their teams in August, September, play, and then, you know, have a winner at the end of the season and do it all over again. But you can get into keeper formats where you keep certain players. You can get into dynasty formats where you keep your entire team from year to year and you only draft rookies the following years. That can also be really fun, but really challenging as well. And then now, you know, with DraftKings and FanDuel, and the draft app, like, there's different formats for things. We're getting into daily fantasy sports, not just football, by the way, where you pick a team every week and you have a salary, $50,000 salary, and you buy players, you fit them in your roster, you're paid in tournaments. So if you picked the guy that went off, you knew Devontae Adams was going to have a huge week and he was in your lineup and he went off, you know, you're more likely to win against the thousands of other people who are in there. So, you know, we're the dollar entry. Sounds crazy, but yeah, you can win hundreds or thousands of dollars. It's not very likely, but they know how to get you. So I'm not saying just go run and throw your money at it, but anyways, fantasy football, what else can I tell you? I am still chasing my first championship fucking title, and it is my 9th year of playing. I have played in 3 leagues for the last 4 years, and I think I was in 4 leagues for a couple times, but wow, I've a couple second place finishes, couple heartbreakers, tons of lessons learned. And I gotta tell you, there's another podcast coming where I will get into the lessons that I've learned in that are relevant for life and for business from fantasy football, and I'll get into that in more detail. But if you don't think that negotiating matters when you're trying to trade players, well, you're crazy, because people take the shit seriously, and rightfully so, because, you know, everybody has their reasons, but a lot of people really love this. So anyways, you're trying to trade players with someone, you're straight up negotiating. It's a pretty good skill to have. Some more lessons about that later on. So that is the first Contextuals episode. Thank you again for tuning in. Fantasy Football Contextual. I hope it gives you a little better background on who I am, why I play fantasy football, why I love it so much. And as the season approaches, I'm going to try to stay away from, you know, making too many predictions and, you know, talking about this player is going to do this, or recycling analysis, because I'll tell you straight up, I'm not going to come up with anything terribly unique, at least very often, because I listen to a lot of fantasy football analysts to recap the weeks and the games, because I enjoy the way that they do it. They speak about the systems that were employed, the adjustments that were made in game live. You know, for example, this running back was injured in the second quarter, and the playbook or the plan for that week was to run against, you know, the Chargers because their run defense is weak. And then in the third quarter, you saw that the Packers throw the ball more because they lost their running back. You may not realize that if you just watch SportsCenter and caught highlights. You may not realize that if you just watched NFL Network, although they are quite good as well. But the guys who talk specifically about individual players, they really provide a different sort of perspective on the weeks. So I really enjoy that. And as I was saying before, I'm probably not going to come up with a ton of stuff on my own. And I'll tell you when I'm referencing somebody else's information. I really don't want to become somebody who's trying to make their way, they make their hay or way or lay by the bay or any of that by making calls and calling them my own. I'm going to do my best to reference the true source. Ah, water break. And right now, my favorite fantasy football analyst is John Hansen. He's AKA the Guru. I listen to him on Sirius. He's got a website, and he's just awesome. He puts in a ton of work to stats and projections every year and adjusts them weekly and things like that. So really respect his work, and I think he's awesome. I've also enjoyed, you know, the football diehards, Dr. Roto, Fantasy Alarm, Jeff Manns, and people like that. So I'll do my best to reference as needed. And there was one more thing I was going to say, and I can't remember. I think it might have been along the lines that... Well, I guess it's a bit of a different ballpark, but I sometimes rant about things other than fantasy-related matters, which I'll talk about in the NFL General Contextuals series episode. Also coming up. Thanks again for tuning in. I will talk to you later.